Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. And welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Justin is out this week on assignment, but I'm sure he'll be back in next week with some exciting anecdotes and experiences for everybody, and we'll pick him up from there. So hope everybody is enjoying their Super Bowl. I guess this is Super Monday. I guess they call it that. So hopefully for all you Chiefs fans out there, you had a wonderful Super Bowl. And I know that everybody down here in Texas and probably Philadelphia and anybody who was a fan of Andy Reid, the coach, as well as the Chiefs who hadn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. And I want to shout out to my friend Scott Lee, whose dad was the quarterback of the Chiefs, and one of the first quarterbacks of the Chiefs, and had posted some pictures up there from 54 years ago when his dad was playing there. So they, of course, you guys need to know that the Chiefs were the kind of the Dallas Texans in the early 60s. And they were the first team down here. And then they moved to Kansas City. And then you had the Dallas Cowboys later and the Houston Oilers later. You have Bum Phillips go down there and do the Houston Oilers. And then, that's why there's such this big connection. A lot of people say, well, why is Texas so connected to the Chiefs? Well, it was the Dallas Texans or whatever. And so that's why, because that's why you would see a connection between the old Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans. It's the same people. They just picked up and moved. And we've seen that with Arizona. And we've seen that with now what used to be the Chargers. Yeah, hockey does a similar thing too. So anyway. Enough of that. So hopefully everybody's having a good Monday and you're at work and you're working hard. So we have a wonderful guest with us today. And it's always, always have an eye out for folks that if they may be coaches, they may not be coaches, but if certainly folks that do things that empower people. And and uplifting and positive and helping one another. I guess there is one sidebar, but I won't get into that after a while. But it reminded me of some of the Super Bowl halftime, but we might get to that here in a minute. So we're going to go ahead and we have Renee Tashney with us. And Renee is based out of the Fort Worth metro area. And so I want to bring her on the show today and talk about some of her work that she's done that has uplifted and been a light to others. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Bruce.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about your history, what kind of got you to where you're at today and some of the influences that you had that led to you being where you are today.
Where to start? Well, grew up as a child to a dysfunctional family. And had God in my life from the age of 12, and he saved me and brought me through everything. My favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I like to give back. He's gifted me with my photography, and I give back to women. It's part of my ministry to help women to see their inner beauty, their outer beauty. And then that's kind of my life in a nutshell.
Wow. Okay. So I know that there's a lot of different circumstances. I'll bring up that Super Bowl thing now a little bit, because I posted, folks, so some of you I know, I posted something on my Facebook today that has a shot of Adam Levine, I think, from last year, and a shot of J-Lo from this year. And they're both in fairly seductive poses, if you will. And so, And again, I merely respond to social media. This isn't me necessarily picking a fight out there, but So I heard all, as a matter of fact, I saw a lot of women complaining about this year's Super Bowl because they felt that it was objectifying women in a sexual manner. Conversely, there were a lot of women responding to those first women saying, no, it's empowering them, you know.
I feel it was very empowering.
And so we're gonna hold on a minute. I'll let you know when you can. That's kidding. So anyway, teasing. So, to me, I think that's an interesting debate. You know, we're not necessarily going to go there. But I, you know, in our pre-production meeting, I brought up like, what is that line? You know, where's the line that crosses over from empowering, a sexually empowering image, that would cross the line into a lascivious, or what's a better word? Not nasty.
No, I see it from a whole different perspective.
Objectifying.
Right.
So, and y'all know my background. So, in the dark world that I came from, in the feds, any picture that is captured for the express purpose of sexual arousal or sexual gratification is constituted as a form of pornography. If it's that picture's with an underage person, they call it a child abuse image, etc. But we'll just kind of move forward to Shakira and J-Lo and call that, I guess, some form of possible soft core pornography, depending on the eye of the beholder. We'll see. So if we do have any callers want to call in and weigh in on this issue, why not? But I think what's real important about what Renee does is she's on the good side of this continuum, in that your work is uplifting women that have been through, like, what, and I want you to kind of go through some scenarios, like a recent pregnancy was one, or abusive relationship is another, or perhaps somebody is middle-aged and wants a boost. So talk about a few of the cases that you've, or scenarios that you've worked with. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
Well, can I go on about the halftime show? I mean, what I felt about it, what I've seen, is the great talent that these women have. And also how I'm seeing it is the women, like my son always says to me, he says, Mom, oh my gosh, you look so great. You don't look like the other moms, you know, and I don't do anything. I've just taken care of myself. I've just lived a great, clean life, positive, happy. And therefore, when I seen them yesterday, J-Lo 50, you know, she's a few years younger than I am. And Shakira, she's 43. And these women look fantastic. It's just showing women that, you know, they are on the extreme, of course. You know, I mean, I'm not that fit. I don't want to be that fit. I don't want to have their body. I'm happy with me and my own skin. And, you know, so I felt that it's just showing their talent as well as that their beauty and for their age. So I feel in that aspect, it was empowering to women. So, and on what I do in my business, if I see someone who's kind of, a good example at my women's Christmas party, it was right after my daughter had passed away. And so, you know, of course I was a little bit more tender, and, but I'm there, I'm showing up, I've got my camera in hand. And of course, everybody knows I have my camera in hand, and you just smile at Renee. You don't give her any lip. You just take a picture. Right. So this one woman's like, I can't get in the picture. I'm 25 pounds heavier than I was last year. And I just turned around at her and I just had it. I'm like, look, I said, your friends aren't seeing, oh my God, we can't take a picture with you. You're 25 pounds heavier than you were last year. I said, no, they're seeing your heart. It's the beauty. We're not capturing that. It isn't about that. And she shut up and she smiled and she took a picture with her friends. And then the rest of the night, I heard everybody talking about it. But that's empowering women.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And then one woman, she needed a... Well, I have a woman coming up here next week that I'm going to do some boudoir shoots with. And she said that her husband is very, very hard to buy for. He doesn't wear watches. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. And she said that she's lost 50 pounds from last year and she feels more self-confident about herself. And this is something she feels she could give to her husband that he would enjoy. So I tailor that type of my business to each individual person. Again, it's very tastefully done, and it's very unique. It's a great experience. And we talk about Christ. We talk about things that we've grown on and things that they have a weakness on. I help build that weakness from my perspective.
Well, because interestingly, because there's several things that I've noticed that women have done in a similar manner to build confidence about their appearance with their body.
Accepting of themselves.
Yeah. And I've actually known a couple of ladies that not just, well, actually, I know some that do the pole work, the pole exercising. You're raising your, okay, anyway, anyway, there's the pole exercise, but there's another, oh, something you don't know about. Okay, well, we'll have to save that for another show. But then there's another variant, not a variant, but another thing that is called the burlesque. A lot of women, they're getting, I mean, they're like full on burlesque shows. It's not like just like put something on and get out there. I mean, they're actually doing burlesque types of things in the burlesque genre, but the burlesque, you dress kind of
sleazy.
I wouldn't, no, the burlesque people wouldn't say that, but they would, anyway. Okay. And again, I'm always interested in that continuum, right? Okay, got people that do the stripper pole thing, but that's a form of exercise. You got people that are doing a burlesque thing, but yet there's a sexualized component of that, you know, I think, or theoretically. So let's talk about the boudoir. Like, so what are kind of define that for our listeners? Like, what is a boudoir shoot and what are the components of that as a undertaking?
Well, for me, in the way I shoot and with my clients, again, it's a confidence building. It's individual based. I work closely with them up until the time we shoot. It's a very relaxed atmosphere, and it's very classy in how it's done. And it's not anything to do with trash. And I've had women walk out of there and say, oh my gosh, thank you for helping me see the real beauty that I have within me. Thank you for seeing my true beauty, helping me. So it's so wonderful.
Okay. So do you do an assessment? Do you kind of meet them first and kind of look at what some of the focal points be? Will you make wardrobe or probably lack thereof suggestions?
That's part of what I do with them. I work with them up closely beforehand, and we go from there. We'll send pictures back and forth, texting. We'll talk on the phone. It's a lot of time that I invest in doing it. You know, clothing choices, things of that nature. And I have to ask about their husbands, and, you know, I pick up on their self-confidence, what they are so picky about, where their low self-esteem is. And, you know, we work from there.
You know, as coaches, every life coach, part of what coaches do in life coaching, executive coaching or whatever, is to help the client eliminate self-defeating thinking.
Exactly.
Okay. And that's what I like about what you're saying here, is that this is a particular way to address that. And I think for many of us, men and women, who we are, I know it's where we are today in this world, but who we are kind of physically, or our view of ourselves physically, it means a lot, right? And so, I mean, that's why, right? Some ladies will take pictures way up high on
angles
on Facebook, the droney, because droney's more friendly on the lines, you know, versus, you know, right here, or God forbid, you know, down there. Okay, so you're saying you talk to the client. Now, do you ask them literally, like, okay, what are your biggest fears about your body, that type of thing?
Well, one, I don't advertise what I do, and so these people, they come to me, or as happenstance, I'll see somebody that just needs a boost and bring it up gently. And also, you know, most women, they look in the mirror. If they're looking in the mirror at themselves, you know, they're just not seeing. I mean, they're just seeing actually what's there. So they're not seeing any beauty. They're not seeing anything lit differently. So when once they see their body in a different light, it gives such a great, like, oh my gosh, I really don't look like I look like when I'm looking in my bathroom mirror.
Good point. Right.
So.
Okay. So is there something, so to be a photographer, this is a, certainly you have to have a talent, I think, for it. And then of course you learn more stuff about it, but what is it about your photography? Like, do you have the ability to see things that others can't see and kind of bring that to light? Like let's talk about that.
Oh, most definitely. So even when I'm building a set or something, creating it, people are like, oh my gosh. When I work with models and such, a dad, I had a little girl on a four-wheeler and she was like, okay, that's great, Renee, I want to do this. And the dad is like, no, I just can't see it. No, I don't want to take it outside. No, I don't want to do that. But after I took him in my office and showed him the actual images, he was blown away. He's like, I couldn't see what you were seeing.
Okay, so do you, so you do a round of shots. Let me go back. So they just bring whatever.
I help them bring what they need to bring, what I'm envisioning in my mind. Even though they can't see it, and I have them bring more, more is always better than not enough. Props always help. But again, it's like I can see something in my mind, and I know how I'm going to light it as well. So.
Okay. So if I think this is really good because if I was a woman, I might feel more comfortable with a woman photographer. If I was a woman wanting to do this in a boudoir type of format where I'm going to be possibly putting myself in a vulnerable position. Like I'm going to be either nude or next to nude or, you know. And so I think that makes a big difference. You know, your countenance, your ease, your go ahead.
But I won't do all nude. There's no way. And so it's all on, because it's what I do as part of my ministry is to build a woman's self-confidence. And this is to see herself in a good light and a beautiful light, to see her inner beauty. So it isn't anything that's like that at all.
Yeah. I didn't say it was full, but I'm glad you stopped.
Right. So I don't do that type of boudoir. And that's one of the reasons I don't advertise it. I did advertise it at one point, oh my gosh, like 10 years ago. And I have got the wildest phone calls, and it was more of a dark side, and I don't do darkness, and my heart just isn't in the dark. And so, and that's where my passion for my photography comes from. You know, the outcome is so good because it comes from my heart, and that's what it is all about to me, is giving back, putting in, instilling the love. I love everything about myself, and I don't want to change anything about myself, except for to make things better. And so when I train models and stuff too, I'm always telling them that they were created by their parents, created by God to be who they are. If you don't like how you look, if you're cutting yourself down, you're slapping God in the face because you were created to be in His image. And to me, that's very important. So, you know, we all have a masculine side of our face. We all have a feminine side of our face. You know, if you don't like the masculine side, well, you better make friends with it. If you don't like something about it, well, you better embrace it, because that's just who you are. So you make yourself better. So each of my models, when I train them as well, I have them. The biggest thing is I always tell them my opinion of you is none of your business. At the end of the day, if you worry about what everybody else thinks about you, you are going to fail in this life. And also, I want them to be the best them, the best me. I want to be the best me that I can be. So I don't want to be like everybody else. And so that's what I try to instill in everybody. Everybody is unique, and I love everybody, and everybody, I mean, that sounds goofy, but that's just part of me. But I want people to love themselves. I want women to love themselves. And even where you are right now in this, if you're going to work on losing weight, well, so what? Let's take your pictures now. You lose weight. Let's do it again. Let's have fun. Let's embrace the time. Let's embrace who we are, where we are. And this is like your age. Age is just a number, you know, just take care of yourself.
Yeah. And so you know, I think it's really interesting that you're able to combine ministry as well as boudoir. You know what I mean? Those seems like, you know, total opposites. You know, it's not, no, it's not strippers for Christ. It's boudoir still something, you know, is far less
beauty.
Right. And so I think, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, God doesn't create mistakes, you know, I mean, he doesn't. And absolutely, we're all created in his image. And you know what? And like you said, that's the way it is. You better embrace it, because it's hard sometimes because people are mean, and our culture is pretty savage sometimes about if you deviate more than two standard deviations in weight or this or that. And it's a tough society out there sometimes. But anyway, but yeah, so I think being able to do that. Well, let's talk a little bit about your model training and tell us about that aspect of your business.
Okay. Well, at 12, my mom got me into modeling, and it was not because of appearances. It was for self-confidence. And it was one of the greatest things that she ever did for me. And I never thought I'd be training models later in my life, but it's been a wonderful experience. But I work closely with them, help build their portfolios, help train them, teach them what to do on a job, what not to do on a job, and about posing, carrying yourself, your poise, your self-confidence, all that kind of good stuff.
What are some of the things, I know our listeners are going to want to know, I want to know, but what are some of the straight big things you shouldn't do on a job?
Oh, attitude is key. Attitude and your behavior. It's very, very important.
How should your attitude be?
Very uplifting, very energetic, very positive, very self-confident. You have to own it.
Okay. And the behavior?
Professional.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very professional. And like I tell all my models as well, you know, if you're out there, I have a great example. I trained a model, and a month later, she got a job. She called me. She wanted the advice on, they wanted her to wear a formal gown. And she said, can I text you and get your opinion? And of course, I said yes. And then I follow a lot of them on social media. And this one girl, she was going to go work for a photographer. And I'm like, you don't need pictures. I tell you, you don't work for free. You know, so many people want to shoot you. Yeah, you're beautiful. Yeah, you're a model. Yeah, you know what to do. They don't have to work your body. They don't have to show you what to do, tell you what to do. So they want to work with you. But again, you don't need pictures. You don't need the experience that way. It's a job. You're hired. You should get paid for it. But at the end of the day, that photographer owns the images. Mm-hmm. And Photoshop is crazy what you can do now. And I said, what is this person's credentials? You know, I can't cancel on them at the last minute. I'm like, yes, you can. And that she's got a husband and stuff too. And I said, what is his credentials? Is he insured? What does he do with the images when he owns them? He can do whatever he wants. How is he trustworthy? How do you know what's going to happen? And then I also said, I said, why don't you ask your husband about human trafficking? So mm-hmm. you could get yourself in a pretty bad, you know, particular spot. So she ended up canceling with him. But again, there's so much out there that's crazy. You just have to be really careful.
You do have to be really careful. Now, are your models primarily teenagers and younger women?
Oh, no. The age is from 3. Oh, my goodness. I've done some 50-year-old people here recently. So, yeah, it's all different ages.
Okay. Well, good. So being positive, being professional, having good boundaries, and also being safe, because some of these gigs may be of a questionable nature.
They could be. And that's what you were talking about. We were discussing earlier from your dark side of your
experience.
Thank you. Definitely. So,
well, that's real good. So I notice, or folks, if they do visit your sites or whatever, so you have a space, commercial space that's multi-themed. What are some of the more popular themes that you So it's just the modeling and boudoir. Is there any other themes or outdoor work or anything else that you do?
Oh, yeah. I'm not afraid to shoot anything. I do a lot of charity work, like for Bikes for Angels. There's a couple kids, football teams, baseball teams, and I'll shoot, have them do a raffle, and all the money goes towards their kid or their team. And so they'll raffle off for like a family portrait session or something of that nature. But yeah, I do artwork, create my own artwork. I photograph other people's artwork, their jewelry for their insurance purposes. I love doing weddings, engagement pictures. Yeah, there's just...
Let's talk about the artwork and jewelry. How did you get into that space? Just people found out, or did you create that as a service line to help people? So yeah, talk a little bit about that, because that can be very important if you tell your insurance company, oh, I lost this in a fire, or I had a burglar come in the house, or it got washed away in Houston. So yeah, how in a flood.
Well, I actually lived through a house fire, and so I had been there firsthand. So that's when I started doing that.
And then just the word spread, and you got several cases like that.
Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of Photoshop work and do restoration. There's a man who I work for in Mississippi, Mr. Carlton. And of course, if the images are over 75 years, I can reproduce them and restore them. And so there's a couple pieces that I've done that are in a few museums in Mississippi.
That's awesome. And as a matter of fact, you fixed one of my shots. Oh, never mind. Okay. Well, she did fix one of my shots. It's really good. It was, why not? Anyway, there's this picture of me with Al Capone, because I'm at this place called Capone's, and which is a place in Las Vegas. And I was there at the time with Larry Levine, one of the bigger criminal consultants. Anyway, I need some help getting that out. But you're very helpful in at least, yes, getting Al Capone out of there with some advice and stuff. Anyway, that was really good. So, okay. So yeah, have you or somebody take pictures of whatever valuables I might have at my house, but it's more firearms than jewelry, but seriously.
Well, I have done that as well. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I mean, cause they hold, they have value. It's like a
exactly
bracelet or necklace or earring.
Exactly. I'm doing a restoration now. The picture is only like 2 inches by 2 inches. And it's for a gentleman, a friend of mine, and his sister or somebody came across this picture, and I had to bring it to my studio, and we shot it there that day because it's so precious to him and their family that I wasn't going to be responsible for holding on to it. So I'll be posting that as soon as I get that restored. It's really, really bad.
Did you say what it was? Or?
It's a picture of a family member of them. Yeah. But the gouges and everything in it is really deep. It's severely damaged. So it's going to be very time consuming to reproduce it. I work like crazy. Everybody's like, always like at, you're at your shop all the time. You're at your office all the time. And it's like, well, there's always things to do. I'm creating new sets. And just like I redid the boudoir room this weekend, and I'm on stage 4 of that. And I have 2 more stages to do to create that. But yeah, I mean, there's just, it's endless what you can do.
No, I think that's great. And again, that service line of fixing people's old pictures, I think that's
well, what I do awesome. Is I stop time, mm-hmm. Photography to me is stopping time, creating precious moments that you never will get again, because each moment of every day is all you get. There's only one moment, the moment right now. It's all you have. It's not going to be repeated. So stopping time, it's the only thing that stops time next to death. And so even like 5 months prior to my daughter passing away, we were just screwing around in my studio, and she was taking care of her grandfather on hospice, who passed away 5 months before her. And she became a rescue diver that summer. Oh, my goodness. She's working with a man who processed her body. This girl was phenomenal. So but we were just screwing around. We only had a few minutes time and screwing around. I wanted her in her scuba stuff, but she had to go back and do something else. So she, Mom, we'll do it another time, which we never came around. But I have these precious treasures that of just her and I, and I've got one picture. It's just a creative shot where I've got her, just our heads there, and I've got my head tucked in by hers. And I said, baby girl, I'll always have your back. And so that shot to me is like timeless. But then she's screwing around and being her goofy normal self. So it's just priceless what I have. So photography to me is more than a passion. It's a gifting, and it's everything to me.
Yeah, I just, right. Well, sorry for that. And now I know why. I've been, every time we talk, you're one of your central themes is like, hey, you know, you don't know.
We don't know,
and you live every day to the fullest, and we got to be reminded of that, man. I got to be reminded of that. Last week we talked about the death of Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. and how that was an untimely death, and because it kind of happened before people think it should happen, mm-hmm. it just completely derailed people. Right,
and we weren't created to die.
Right,
that's the big thing, and that's why people don't know how to. They bring you food, you know, because they don't know how to deal with death, because it was never in the plan. We were never created to die originally before the fall.
Before the fall in the garden.
That's right. Exactly.
And so it is. It is the wages of sin that produce that, but when that happens and how that happens, right, is something I think that we all have to deal with sooner or later. I know we've had loss, and I've talked about loss in my family and on the show here. And like you said, it's not something that they teach in school is okay. Here's the Kubler-Ross, you know, grief and loss model, this and that, because we're just socialized not to deal with that. So, and you know, I think, you know, thank God you have the line of work that you have, because then you get to move. I don't want to say pay forward, but
invest. I invest in people.
Right. And in a unique way, you know, and folks, that's why I do what I do as a coach or a consultant, even with some of my federal stuff, but certainly with the coaching, is able to do that. I mean, that's what you do. And you have your own business, right?
Yes.
And you have the ability to set your own schedule, right?
Absolutely.
Even though you're probably a workaholic on the inside, but you still, in theory, right? You have the free will to.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's what let me have the free time to build a house last year, you know, from the ground up. And, you know, I could set my schedule, and it was hectic and chaotic and a lot of fun.
That's right. I remember you saying you did that. And that must be a lot of work. I did something like that 10 years ago, and oof, those subs, man. But anyway, it's
oh, a sub. Sub. I only had like 5 subs.
Okay.
Job,
so. Yeah. So, you know, so I like that, you know, what, I'm experiencing from you now is kind of like a lot, like myself and a lot of other folks. We love what we do. We love our work, exactly. So to speak, but our work
isn't work. It's your passion. It's your love. And you can be successful when you do what you love. So many people want to do something for a living to make money. And it's like, no, money isn't everything. Money is not the most important goal in life. It's relational and being right with people and being right with Christ. So, yeah, absolutely. You have to have a passion in life. And if you do what you're passionate about, you're going to be very successful in life.
Right. And so, and that's kind of the struggle with a lot of the younger coaching clients or younger folks. So younger folks will come in, well, I just want to be rich, or I want to be wealthy, and I want it now. And of course, and every coach, myself, yourself, Gary Vee, whomever, is going to say, hey, man, slow and steady wins the race. Yes. Believe it or not, slow and steady wins the race. So, you know, if you want to go out and buy a lottery ticket, okay. But other than that, man, slow and steady wins the race. Number two is your motivation, is your passion, motivation. Boy, I don't even know how to put this, but is it like a legit one, or is it one that you should be following? You know what I mean? Like some people just do it out of greed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
I want to deal drugs. I think God, I mean, God never called anybody to deal drugs. Anybody, right. But I just do it because I get the money now. Oh, okay. Well, that's not a good goal, but somebody's doing something else.
So you're talking about what drives a person. You need the drive.
Yes.
But your passion, again, is what it's all about.
So we were talking earlier. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, because we've been obedient to certain callings, you know, now we're able to put all that together in a very meaningful way that supports us, supports, you know, if God can support the birds in the field, right?
Well, you know, it goes back to the fact that I believe, like building this house, you know, people would sit in the yard and watch me, park the cars in the street and watch me, ask me where I came from. How do you know how to do this? And I finally just started saying I'm an alien, like the aliens built the pyramids and all, you know, it's craziness. But God will bring you, if he will provide, but you have to do the work. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So your drive has to come from within. Your drive has to come from your passion. Your drive has to come with, you know, with a purpose, I think. And your purpose, I think, is just every day. What is your purpose? Some people are looking for their purpose and they don't realize what their purpose is. It's right in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get stuck in your purpose. I know, you know, for years and years, I worked day in, day out in federal prisons. You know what I mean? Going, why the hell am I here? What does this mean? You know what I mean? I'm here doing a job and I get it. You're working with the least of these, right? Working with sexual offenders or whatever. It's the modern day leper. You know, it's the least of these. Okay, well, that sounds godly. I get, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, it's kind of like, so, you know, it's really interesting until, you know, you're part of it is just, you know, fading. I was talking to a coach this morning about, you know, you're being true to yourself, but ask, you know, either ask God or, you know, ask what is that? You kind of fade back. Is this what I need to be doing? Or was this door that opened up? Was that, should I be doing that? Yeah. Should I walk through that door? And so sometimes that's a tough call. If I'm a greedy person, I mean, but anyway, you know, am I gonna make this greedy choice here or another door divinely opened up for me, but I didn't take it because I'm too good for that door. You know, that's not going to pay off quick enough or whatever.
Well, my pastor, I love Dr. James Reeves, that City on a Hill, and he's a phenomenal man. And one of the things that he's always taught is when you leave this world, do you want to be known as a character? Or do you want to leave this world as a person who had character? So that way, if you look at it, if you could kind of think of that every day and base your decisions on that, because life is nothing but decisions all day long, every day, it's a choice you make. So, but if you base your decisions on that each day, you know, am I going to be just a fool or am I going to live life with intention?
Right, right. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, that's where being a fool long enough and hard enough, those consequences come and people come out of the refiner's fire a little bit more directed in another direction, in a better direction, as a result of those poor choices. And we've had some coaches here on the show that have talked about their fool years and thinking that they were in control of everything and kind of bit them in
pride.
Oh yeah, pride and arrogance. They were their own God and all this and that. It kind of, you know, kind of came back to get them. And then they were humbled and then turned north, repented and turned north and acted in a better way. And so that better way usually produces fruit, you know, until we go back full circle and tell somebody, well, yeah, well, if that person was so good, why did she die when she was 25? You know what I mean? See what I mean? It goes back to, did anybody ever ask you that? Like, did you have to tell people about, like, well, you know, people.
Like when Morgan passed
yeah,
away.
Yeah, like, well, it's.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, it's, I did. And right away, God was preparing my heart anyways. And I always knew that she could pass away from having a seizure. Sadly, at the time, I was really the only one in the family who believed it. So it was awful when it came true. She was a passionate person. She was very amazing, remarkable young woman. And you know, she did have a lot in front of her. And I did do a job after she had passed away about 6 months with a police department. And man, I'd be in the cells with these 18-year-olds getting booked and stuff. And I was able to speak my mind and say what I wanted to. And it was like, it was heart-wrenching that they were throwing their lives away when my daughter was gone and shouldn't have been gone. So one would think. But anyway, I made peace with it right away. It was a choice. You know, you had to. And I even had a lot of people give me grief because I had weddings and stuff to do right afterwards. And I still kept working. And they're like, your daughter just died. Da, da, da. It's like, yes, she did. And I can't fix it. I can't change it. There's no woulda, coulda, shouldas. I wish I had. I shoulda did this. No, it's like you just have to. It happened. You have to deal with it. And everybody grieves differently. And everybody grieves in their own time, in their own way. There's no right. There's no wrong. And, you know, it's an individual for sure. And there's days I struggle. I still have a season, and I realize now it's a season in my life, and it's probably always going to be there. It starts around August and ends, right after her birthday in January. But, you know, there's just struggles and then all the holidays and stuff. And, you know, you can make yourself sick about it. You can, you know, there's just so many things. You can dwell there. You can stay there. You can be in victim mode. And I don't ever want to be in victim mode. I've never wanted to be that way. And I have had the worst upbringing, the worst childhood. And like I said, I had Christ, thank God. And I appreciate it. And I'm so lucky and I'm so thankful. And, you know, I want to be the best me. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, I know. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that because, right, that everybody has an opinion on everything, man. Like even with Kobe passing away, somebody put, oh, that guy was a rapist, or he did, you know what I mean? So somebody's gonna throw shade.
Always negativity.
Somebody's gonna throw shade on anything.
Hurt people.
Yeah, for real, right? And so I could go on and on about my understanding of that concept, but yeah. Oh boy. So no, but, and I guess what I wanted to say earlier is thank God you have this work. Yeah. To, because like you said, what are you going to do? You can't bring her back. You're not going to sit there and work yourself down into a depression hole or a victim hole. So my God, to get out there and sublimate that, or just, you know, reflexively reach out instead of the opposite. I mean, thank God you had this opportunity to do that at that time.
And God too has brought people into my life after the fact that had lost children and they couldn't deal with it. Their lives were destroyed, divorce, you know, alcoholism, drugs. One man is still, he lost his son and he blames himself. And it's very heart-wrenching. So in that way, they always said, how do you do it? And it's my faith. And they're like, well, how do you have such faith? And it's because of my church. It's because of my church family, my church community. It's all God.
Your morals, values, and beliefs, which your church is part of that. It's the corporate worship part of your morals, values, beliefs.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to go hold service in here.
I know, right?
sorry, folks, man. These shows take a turn, don't they, sometimes? But no, it's really good because I just couldn't think of another, you know, divine, you know, expression of, and you have a lane, man. Lane's photography, and it has empowerment, and, you know, primary.
Well, my daughter Morgan was the one who, because I did this part-time forever. My first, I only took one class in sixth grade. My first camera was a shoebox, and I learned how to develop film and all that sort of stuff. And so it was always a passion. My kids' lives are very photographed, as you can imagine. They had their own paparazzi. But also, once she was further along in college, she's like, Mom, you've did your job, you've raised us, everything's good, you know, you just need to do this full time, it's your passion. So I did it for Morgan, and then after she passed away, I embraced it even more and made it more important to me.
Fantastic. You're leaving a legacy. Yeah, again, you're leaving a legacy. So That's awesome. That's real special. I know. I lost my sister in 13, and she's a musician, so I kind of circled back and got back with some of my more musical training as a you know, there were two of us there, and the third one, she had left. The two of us that were around had musical training, and so, but she was a professional musician, and I was the amateur one. But gladly, I was great to play, and kind of got me back into playing a little bit. And I have a lot of her musical equipment and stuff like that as a testament to that. So, similar to the photography, you know what I mean? So, and how great is that? You know, that you can get into that. So, goodness, you know, yeah, you're not a licensed or certified life coach, but it sounds like what you do with people is so nice and so rewarding and fulfilling to you, fulfilling to them, more so to them, of course. And to be able to do that and reach people in a unique way, and also utilize that as a part of your ministry, I think that's just a wonderful thing. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's why I want our listeners to hear, because I thought, wow, that is, you know, to go from the boudoir, you know, into scripture and what that means for each person, because I can imagine the kind of like married ladies doing those shoots would be different than a single lady, right? Is it well, mostly married
brides and for women who are married? Mm-hmm. Gifts for their husbands on their wedding night.
Do you have more married clients, or is it still a mix?
More married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then that's good, actually. That makes sense, actually. But it's,
well, just like the woman who I'm going to do next week, her husband's so hard to buy for, and she's like, I can't think of a better thing to do. And she said she loved working with me with her daughter's pictures, and everything was beautiful, so that's why she chose me.
Well, I can absolutely see, and I'm hoping that our listeners, those of you that are listeners that are here in the DFW area, will visit your Facebook page, and here we're in a few seconds, I'm going to have you tell our listeners where they can reach you, and or what Facebook page or whatever is a good touch point for you. So yeah, well, you know, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, thanks for sharing parts of your life. I mean, it's, you know, this is a little bit more than just a business. You know what I mean? It's a lot more than just, yeah, I'm doing, yeah,
my heart.
Yeah, I'm just doing this to collect a check. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Very, very heartfelt. And so with that, so how can folks, if they have questions about your restoration or want to employ you for one of your services, how can folks reach you?
The easiest way is photographydfw.com.
Wow, that's your site, huh? Photographydfw.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a good one. That's a good URL title right there. So very good. Very good. Well, folks, that was a wonderful episode today here on the show. And thank you for coming. And maybe we'll have you come back in a few weeks. So, folks, come back next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Justin will be back with us. And feel free to go to our social media platforms. We're on LinkedIn, The Concierge Coaches. We're on Instagram, The Concierge Coaches. Justin, our co-host, can be reached at nimmergood.com. And my website is conciergecoach.net if you have any questions. And if you yourself are a coach, or you know somebody that might be a nice contributor guest to the show, please get a hold of myself or Justin, and we'd like to talk to that person and see what we can do to maybe help showcase their work and their efforts in the coaching and helping space. So with that, folks, bid everybody a good week. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a blessed week, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.